broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. This is the broadcast for August 24th in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is hour two of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Kurt Crosby's with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome, my friend. Dr. Scott Bradley with us to preserve the nation, his goal and collegiate series to match. All available at freedomsrisingsun.com. Welcome back, sir.
Well, thank you very much. Always good to visit with you folks on this Monday morning.
Well, the Democratic Convention is over. The Republican Convention is ready to go. Are you excited for the next events over the next several days there, Dr. Bradley?
Well, you know, the Democrats' convention was kind of about the biggest yawner that I think has ever been put on in any political media kind of environment.
It was not only a yawner, but it was almost like a kid's show. I mean, it was almost just like surreal. It was like, you know, people speaking with little kitty letters in the background, and Joe Biden stumbling around a little bit, gave the shortest speech of a convention ever known. It was like surreal that nobody was like present. I mean, it was just awkward as all get out.
And really, I don't believe there was much of a bounce in terms of, you know, a lot of times you get an event like that and you'll see generally a kind of a short-term increase in interest and popularity that comes out of it. There was something that kind of stirred emotions and rallied the troops, if you will. And I think whatever bounce they're talking about that the Biden got, I think, is a facade, a Fauci facade, shall we say. Bring in another topic. But the fact of the matter is, I think that Kamala Harris was a non-starter with most of the people. I just don't think that they brought much. And then on top of that, as an acceptance speech, Biden's, again, back to his old tricks of stealing somebody else's work. I mean, the guy plagiarizes every opportunity from the time he was back in law school, for crying out loud.
Yeah, but so, everybody says that's fine.
I guess.
He's nice guy. Just keep him away from your wife, you know, other than that, eh?
Now, here's the deal. It may be that short-term memory is fading to the point that there's just some long-term things. He goes back and looks at something somebody else has done. Just kind of, I remember that, and that was kind of a cool phraseology. I guess I'll use that. And maybe just every time he's done it, it's been in ignorance and everything and by mistake. But I kind of suspect that it's not.
Well, and those around him, even if it is a mistake, those around him should prevent it from happening. The RNC, the DNC, these people have some responsibility for what goes on as well. The fact checkers were out in mass and said that the Democratic National Convention was full of misstatements and manipulations and half-truths and so on as well. So there you have that. But today, the Republican National Convention has already started. It started at 9 o'clock Eastern a.m., so it's already been going on for 2 hours. And what's interesting is here, how to follow the Republican Convention proceedings. 9 a.m., Monday through Thursday, it all starts. But as with the Democratic Convention, they say last week, the big speeches will happen at nighttime. The Times, well, you got to feel good about the Times, they'll stream the convention every day, Monday through Thursday, accompanied by what they call chat-based live details, real-time highlights and fact checks and everything else from the speakers. ABC will cover the convention from 7 to 11 p.m. every night. CBS, NBC, and Fox, 10 to 11 p.m. CNN from 8 p.m. to 2 a.m. MSNBC from 7 p.m. to 2 a.m. The official live stream will be available on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, not to mention Amazon Prime. So that's going on. Then they also talk about the debates. The debates, first presidential debate, will be September 29th, President Trump and Joseph Biden. But aren't people already, like, voting and stuff? You know, I don't get it. Vice presidential debate between, you know, Mike Pence and Senator Kamala Harris. I guess they'll face each other on October 7th. Second presidential debate, October 15th. Third presidential debate, October 22nd. And you look at all that and you go, man, if everybody's going to be voting, it seems strange because people are going to be voting before half that even takes place. So I don't even know the point of it. Again, the debates have been rigged forever. You got this, quote, debate group that kind of favors both sides. In other words, protects the swamp. But that's what you've got going on. I've got a list of speakers for every day and everything else, Dr. Bradley. But to me, this is going to be almost as misplaced as the Democratic convention, except for there's a lot, in my opinion, of people, even though they're far from perfect and far from the platform that I would stand with, which would be the constitutional platform, they're at least a whole lot more moral of a lot. Is that the way to say it? More moral of a lot than the other guys. As far from perfect as they may be, at least they have some degree of decorum and some degree of a moral compass.
Well, and certainly that's an absolutely essential component in retaining a republic. And in fact, Montesquieu, back in the 1700s, as he wrote of different forms of government there were, and he wrote of the republic, he described it in one word, what was necessary and needful in order to preserve a republic. And that was virtue. And I think that we've got to kind of, you know, come back to that kind of understanding in our lives. George Washington talked about both public and private morality, virtue. And it's an interesting kind of concept that we sometimes today have abandoned the idea that morality and virtue is important. And John Adams said, you know, that the Constitution was written only for the government of a moral and religious people, and it was inadequate to do it for any other. So, yeah, the moral tenor of everything is a critically important issue. And let us hope that that morality can be, you know, kind of brought forth and emphasized. And the idea that, you know, someone's moral character doesn't matter, and you know their leadership skills is what's matter. Well, if somebody's leading you to the devil, there's no reason to follow them. And I fear that so many of those that lead today, quote unquote, we don't have good leaders. We at best we have managers and administrators. It seems there's very few that lead from the moral high ground. There's very few that are willing to take a stand when there's a moral issue at risk. But let's hope that the Republicans can capture that. I must say that these virtual conventions, by nature, are rather at a disadvantage. I've participated in virtual conventions, and they're very lockstep. They're very kind of clumsy. There's not a lot of dynamic to them. It's really kind of a difficult way to do because they're, you know, you're locked in by technology and, you know, who talks on top of who and what kind of hoopla comes along.
The natural interaction doesn't take place. The feeling that you get, the emotional side gets lost many times. All that kind of comes to bear, right?
It truly does. There's you can kind of feed off of passion, the feel, the spirit, if you will, of things that people are bringing to the convention or any kind of event. It's one of those things where you read the audience, and the audience reads the people. There's body language.
Use a basketball game for your example, because in a basketball game, the underdogs or the guys that are losing start to go on a run, and then what happens? People start to stand, and people start to cheer, and pretty soon the excitement and the level of the room changes, and the whole feeling is different, and then they get on a roll, and they make a three-pointer, and then they stop the guys on the other side, and then everybody's into it. And okay, it might not be that extreme of an example in politics, but it does have that same reality effect. That's why people are such social beings, and this antisocial behavior is going to absolutely, in my opinion, change the game. There's no way around it.
What we have going on now is just another element of that. with this facade of the masks and how it takes away so much of the expression, so much of, you know, and this idea even that Fauci's brought up about wearing goggles, holy cow. I mean, the idea of going to live in a bubble and have losing contact, he said early on in this facade, oh, no, we can never shake hands again. Holy cow, I spent so much time shaking hands the last few days. It's good to have human interaction and to, you know, friends at first, friends at last, gather with those that you're close to. And I mean, it's one of those things that we're just, there's a concerted attempt, it would seem, to destroy the sociality between humans. We are.
Yeah, they're trying to do it, but I don't believe they'll succeed. I believe the desire to give people hugs, the desire to shake hands, the desire to be near one another and feel of each other's energies and spirits and friendship and companionship. And I don't believe that we're going to cave this early on this. That's their first foray into this by force. And more people are waking up than ever before realizing, hey, wait a minute, something smells rotten in Denmark, I'll tell you that right now. And people are understanding that reality like never before.
Let me just say this about, let's come back to Gary Herbert's deal about putting five-year-olds in jail for 6 months and the $1,000 fine in your school system.
We're going to talk about this. It's insanity. Dr. Scott Bradley with us, ladies and gentlemen. FreedomsRisingSun.com. Kirk Crosby's in the mix, and you are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, they're calling it a Class B misdemeanor. What does that mean, though? People as young as kindergarten, 5 years old. Okay, that's the standard, they say, for any, quote, violation of a public health order. They say it can be punished with a sentence of up to 6 months in jail and a fine of up to $1,000. Your kid might be getting out of control there, Dr. Bradley. There now.
Well, you know, my kids, we were back on the bleeding edge of the homeschool movement. In fact, when we first started, family members and church associates, leadership, everybody thought that, you know, the SWAT teams were going to show up and shoot us and take our kids and all that kind of stuff. But
why would the government be so abusive?
Well, that's because, you know, you got to get indoctrinated, for crying out loud, you know, and these compulsory education laws went into effect the first time in Utah back in 1915. But, you know, the fact is that parents are the parent. The government is not the parent. And the parents love their children far more and better than any government agent or social worker or teacher or anybody could. And they have their best interests in heart. But nonetheless, you look at anything the government's doing now. Government, as it's been said, is not eloquence. It's not reason. It is force. And like fire, it's a dangerous servant and a fearful master. And what has happened in Utah, and the governor needs to not just be called to task, I think he needs to be removed from office.
Well, he does. We'll get into that in a minute here. Continue. But, I mean, this is criminal behavior by the governor, and I'll tell you why in a second.
Well, I agree completely, and it violates not only the United States Constitution, the Utah Constitution, and the law. The fact is he is creating law, but it's enforcing law. In the 47th Federalist Paper, James Madison said, combining those elements, creating and enforcing, is the very definition of tyranny. And if you look at the Declaration of Independence, and you look at how the Founding Fathers outlined 27 offenses of the king, there's far more that Gary Herbert's guilty of than 27. But Jefferson mostly wrote them. Jefferson said that this kind of behavior is basically defines the individual as a tyrant. And that's why the people in the Declaration of Independence justified their withdrawing from their loyalty to not only the king, but becoming a free and independent nation. And this is untenable, what's happening right now. But truly and amazingly, the little children are being indoctrinated into a compliance mode. They will never be the same. And when the state first came out with its plan to, quote-unquote, educate children under the new normal, which is not normal, and it's just an old tyranny, it's just packaged a little different, I read them carefully, and I made a comment to my wife, there will be no learning that occurs under these stipulations. And she said, wisely, yes, there will. They'll learn to be compliant. They will learn.
They'll do more to be. Hold on. They'll learn more than just to be compliant. They'll learn to be compliant. They'll also learn to be in fear. And they'll also learn to hate. All those components will be reality. They
Absolutely.
Will hate, because anybody who loses their freedom, unless you're tied to God, ends up with hate. The only way to prevent that is to tie yourself to God and His love. And if there's no God in the government schools, then hate will be the result. So you've got hate. In other words, anger. You've got this indoctrination to where you'll be forced to believe in compliance. You'll hate it, but you'll believe that you have to comply. And then you will also have this viewpoint of not only compliance and hate, but this mistrust, this fear of everything around you, Dr. Bradley.
You know, it's interesting. The Soviet Union, when the Bolsheviks took over back in 1917, and they brought this dreary, dreadful, horrid, oppressive, I mean, I don't know how many words you can use, environment to the to Russia and all of its satellites. And the alcoholism problems went through the ceiling. The sadness, the trying to somehow cope, abortion went through the ceiling. Nobody wanted to bring a child into that environment. And you know, there were the Sarloff anarchists that actually, you know, basically said you can't have a family anymore. That all women became basically property of the state, and any man could make use of any woman as long as he was either a member of the party or else he paid a dues. Anyway, everything went to the dogs, and the United States, you say, oh, my goodness, Black Lives Matter. Oh, these guys are Marxist in their origins and all. Yeah, that's true. It's all true. But we have the people in the highest levels of our government that currently are destroying the very foundational principles that our nation was established on, and they're being cheered on. Oh, he has an R behind his name. He's a good guy. Really? Really. By their fruits ye shall know them. And that's exactly what we need to be measuring everything by. We measure in the scale of principle. And if the principles are being violated, then it's wrong. you know, you can say, oh, it's for a good reason. And the governor says, yeah, we got to keep our teachers safe. You know what? You can make any excuse you want. Oh, let's go to war with Iraq because of weapons of mass destruction. They weren't there. There were no weapons of mass destruction. And the fact of the matter is, you get the spin on things that brings out the behavior that they want. And it's like Rahm Emanuel said, don't let any good emergency go to waste. And they can create an emergency in the minds of the people. This is absolutely, I mean, we can go on and on about this. And this is not the only subject because they're all so interrelated. We are building fear. We are building doubt. We're building barriers between what our society should be. And our governor in the state of Utah is at the very center of that. And by the way, his good old buddy, his lieutenant governor that's now running for governor, is a mini-me. He is going to be exactly what Governor Herbert is right now. He'll have a little different face on it, but he is not going to be run shred better than that. It is so disgusting to me that we have fallen so far, and we've let so-called public health experts become tyrants. I'm confident that some of these people have been in the shadows waiting their whole lives to somehow come into the forefront and be able to show their great wisdom and everything. And it's just appalling to me that we're allowing these so-called experts to destroy foundational things that are based upon everything needful for a society to be free. And we're just kind of going right along with it. It's fascinating
to me.
The
question becomes, how long will this last? Because I think a lot of people are fine with the temporary nature of something. Even though, you know, we may not agree with it, people will be like, hey, if this is short-lived. In the beginning, they said, hey, we've got to shut everybody down for a couple of weeks till we get a handle on this.
You know,
a couple of weeks is going on 9 months, and there's no end in sight, sir.
We're like, I don't know the exact number, but we're like 170 days into the 2 weeks to flatten the curve. So they said 15 days to flatten the curve, and now we're like 170 days plus, probably. I don't know.
And we're not even talking about flattening the curve now. We're talking about going out and being forced to wear a mask. It gets worse. So listen to this. So students and staff in Utah who don't wear a mask in K through 12 schools, so students and staff means everyone. Now, I don't know if they can mandate a parent or whatever else. They haven't said visitors or whatever. But students and staff, which basically means everybody, who don't wear a mask in K-12 schools, in accordance with the governor's mandate, can be charged with what they call...
He created law, Sam. That's what he did. Okay,
well, he did. Now, let's get into that. So his mandate, which is a way to say his violation of his oath of office, okay? Because a mandate, what about legislate? See, you either legislate laws into existence or you mandate them into existence. In our constitutional republic, mandate isn't allowed. Legislate is allowed, but the legislative body said, we're not going to extend this. The governor literally just put in a new, quote, emergency order to circumvent the legislative body. Now, listen, the criminal penalty for violating this mandate was confirmed by Governor Gary Herbert's office just last Wednesday, and it's $1,000 and up to 6 months in jail. It's the same thing as the first offense for driving drunk. So you literally now have a situation where who's going to jail? The five-year-old? Or the parent that doesn't mandate compliance for his kid? Or the government school officials who aren't being as compliant as they ought to be? Where does this go? And what it really means, in my opinion, is the governor thinks that he's got control of the legislative body, the judiciary, and the executive branch. He's rolled it all into one, and they call that a mandate, violating the legislate separation of powers that America calls for. This guy is treading on criminal behavior, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't mean to be overly dramatic here, but you got to call it what it is. When we get back, let's have the doctor of politics. Well, I should say of the moral high ground. Break it down just for you. I'm saying he's a criminal because he's rolled this into judge, jury, and executioner all in his own, quote, mandate. Wait a minute. What about the separation of powers in this wonderful country? What about that, doctor, in seconds?
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Yeah. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Tropical storm Marco churning toward Louisiana. Officials expect it to bring storm surge and extremely strong winds by the end of today. And Marco's not the only threat facing the Gulf Coast, as we hear from senior hurricane specialist at the National Hurricane Center, Eric Blake.
Laura is maximum wind 65 miles per hour. We expect it to be approaching the northwestern Gulf Coast on Wednesday.
The Republican National Convention beginning today in Charlotte, North Carolina, though the event will be mostly conducted remotely and streamed online. President Trump will reportedly speak all four nights. California's wildfires reaching historic proportions. Deadly lightning-sparked blazes have burned over 1 million acres over the past week. Six people have died in the fires. Wall Street index is up, but just slightly. And this is USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule. Changing the world one life at a time.
Balance of Nature, it's the greatest thing in the world. I can't imagine where I'd be without it. You know, I feel 20 years old again, and I want to continue to stay in shape. I understand the oversaturation in the market and the resulting cynicism that people have, but Balance of Nature works for anybody and everybody. And as much as it's a today product, it's a product for the future for me. I am the most satisfied customer in the world. I don't know what I would do without it.
Don't wait to see what getting over 10 servings of whole fruits and vegetables every day can do for you. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Start your journey to better health today by calling 1-800-246-8751 or by going to balanceofnature.com. Again, that's balanceofnature.com. And make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code USA.
A group of community activists urging Governor J.S. Pritzker in Illinois to declare a state of emergency and deploy the Illinois National Guard to Chicago. The group making the demand yesterday, pointing to the city's surging number of summer gun violence incidents. Former city council candidate Raul Montes Jr. saying the National Guard is needed because Democratic Mayor Lori Lightfoot cannot control the city. Four aldermen proposed the deployment of the Guard to the city last week, but the measure was referred to committee for further discussion. Lightfoot's accused the four aldermen of grandstanding. TikTok is suing the Trump administration, the social media company saying it will challenge President Trump's executive order that would effectively ban TikTok in the U.S. unless it is sold to an American buyer. TikTok releasing a statement over the weekend saying it has sought to engage in good faith to provide a constructive solution. This is USA Radio News.
I'm submitting to you that the governor is a criminal because he doesn't have authority. He's taking authority unto himself that he does not have. The consent of the governed does not agree to this whatsoever. It violates the checks and balances, ladies and gentlemen. And you could say, well, wait a minute, it's needful. This is kind of an emergency. And my response is, no, it's not. No, it is not. We were lied to in the beginning and told that it was an emergency. And we kind of went along a little bit at first temporarily because we didn't really know better. But now the evidence is clear. Even Dr. Scott Atlas says, hey, we ought not panic here. We ought not steal people's freedoms. We need to protect the most vulnerable among us. And we need to realize that, you've got to develop eventual natural herd immunity, and we've got to not panic. The death rate for this thing is 0.04% across the country, Dr. Scott Atlas articulates. He was just added to Donald Trump's task force on this. President Trump getting a little sick of Fauci. Fauci just being the panic and death guy everywhere he goes. So we're starting to see truth on this, but the governor seems to be doubling down on, well, this idea that he's judge, jury, and executioner, Dr. Bradley.
You know, this is why we have constitutions. We've talked, and I'll do it as briefly as possible, but the Declaration of Independence tells the purpose of government is to secure God-given rights. The consent of the governed is absolutely essential. The governed have the right to choose their form of government. Constitutions, our United States Constitution and the Utah Constitution, were written to fulfill those purposes. They set up in writing words, plain English words, for those that have bothered to learn it, And those words all have meanings. Those words are very specific. The Utah Constitution, well, is a little different than the United States. Well, a lot different, I guess I should say. It's not nearly as good. But the point of the matter is that in the Utah Constitution, it talks about the how you create law. And it's done by the legislature, and then there's another process that can be done by the people. And we don't need to get sidetracked by that. But the governor has no authority to do so.
Let's say that again. The governor has no authority to do so.
Correct.
Continue. I just want to hammer that home because this is the issue. If the governor feels as strong as he does about this, maybe, he has every right to go to the legislature and appeal and say, please listen, this is serious. He has every right to plead to the people. He has every right to use his influence, but he doesn't have the authority to mandate anything of the sort, sir.
And that's absolutely correct. There is no legislative authority granted or delegated to the governor. And in fact, the Utah Constitution has a continuity of government clause about emergencies. And it says specifically that no one that's in authority can exceed or go beyond the limits and bounds allowed in the Utah Constitution. So you may have some authority to do some things under an emergency, but you cannot go across bounds and somebody else create law. And so here's what's happened. The governor, the legislature, all took an oath of office to uphold that thing. And what happened some years ago was the Utah legislature, stupidly, I don't know how else to put it, in their own minds, unconstitutionally delegated to the governor certain powers that he could do certain things. Now, just because a law is written does not mean that it's constitutional. They exceeded their constitutional authority. Constitutional protocol does not allow a legislature to redelegate a power delegated to them in the Constitution. So they unconstitutionally, quote-unquote, delegated to the governor the authority to create law with mandates under certain conditions. But the fact of the matter is they couldn't do that, and now they just found out how stupid they are, because what happened was in this past week when, see, the governor can declare emergencies according to what they've told him in the past. And so he has declared an emergency. Then it can only be for 30 days. But then the legislature has to approve it. The legislature has been along like a nice little rubber stamp that they normally are. And they've been approving these things. And then this past week, they said, no, we're not going to approve an extension of your emergency. So the governor says, well, so what? I'm going to declare another one anyway. The legislature has done
nothing. And let me stop you there. This is why I say that it's gone to the criminal mode. It's one thing to declare an emergency and have the legislative body go along. That's a problem. But I don't know that I could say it's criminal, because the legislative body needs to do their duty. Okay, the separation of powers only works when people you know what? Take their responsibilities seriously. All right. But when the legislative body says, no, we're not going to do that anymore, and he says, I am anyway, they need to throw the guy in the clink. You can't do that.
You can't constitutionally do any of the things that have happened in Utah. And because we're ignorant, deceived, and apathetic, we have allowed our great republic to become a great risk.
Now, and I agree completely with your point from the get-go. I'm just telling you, when you go even further, though, and you literally defy the legislature, the legislative body, that's even a step further, though. It's more in your face. The other one is true and just as wrong and just as dishonest and just as tyrannical, but it's kind of like behind the scenes, and a lot of people that aren't educated may not understand. But this is so clear. It's in your face now. And Americans better stand up, or you can expect it to get worse.
Well, in Article 1, Section 27 of the Utah Constitution, it says that these baseline principles must be recurred to regularly, or we will lose them. Recurred to means come back and remind yourself and repeat them and reinforce them. We have not done that for so long. It's appalling to me that nobody's, you know, standing on the corners shouting out, let's impeach the governor. But the legislature should have been removed in their, everyone that was up for election, they should have lost their election in this primary election. But the fact of the matter is that here's another thing that the governor's leaning on. He's leaning on the 10th Amendment of the United States Constitution to do this. You know, basically the 10th Amendment says that if it wasn't delegated to the United States government in the Constitution, it was retained by the people or the states. That does not give him a blank check to do whatever he darn well pleases. The baseline principle of the purpose of government, as noted in the declaration that we spoke of early, is to secure God-given rights. the governor and the state cannot violate God-given rights any more than the national government can. It's got to be, the people have got to be aware enough to stop it from happening, but the people aren't anymore. We've been educated in government indoctrination camps for so long, and we've polluted this concept to the point that most people aren't aware. But the fact of the matter is, the Utah government cannot violate the baseline purposes of government to secure God-given rights. They cannot begin to just arbitrarily, unilaterally shut down religious services, take away the freedom of speech, shut down businesses, lock people up, habeas corpus, you know, is set aside. All of these things are happening in the state of Utah. Now they're going to arrest, maybe. I don't know. Oh, we'd never do that, they say. Oh, but the threat is there that they're going to put the heavy hand of government. It's not eloquence or reason, remember, it's force. They're going to put the heavy hand of government on a kindergartner or a sixth grader. It doesn't matter how old, or a mom or a dad. People, it's time. Get your kids out of that indoctrination camp, and let's start using our heads again and restoring.
Amen, but they won't do it. They're too busy rioting in the streets saying, hey, we got to have the government school bend to our will and keep our kids in the government schools. That's part of the problem. Now, private schools, you say, are good, but they feel, and I've mentioned this, but the private schools are saying, if we don't mandate masks and obey the governor, they're going to flat out shut down our school. And I believe they will.
Again, force. That's, again, the force.
It is, and there that's my point, though, is that where's the law for that? And the answer is, there isn't one. But they're going to do it anyway by mandate. This is criminal. There is no law that says you can shut down a private school. So here's the ultimate question. Do I have the right to choose a God-given mask instead of a man-made mask? And the answer is they're saying, no, you do not. So my mask is different than yours. That's why I look like Sam Bushman and you look like Dr. Scott Bradley, because God made your mask different than mine, okay? So let me ask you this question. Do I have the right to choose a God-given mask rather than a man-made mask? Isn't that what it comes down to?
Well, it does indeed. But let me just also just say something. Now, you know, you've heard of hijabs and burqas. These face coverings and head coverings and so on and so forth. The Quran, now I've got my Quran right in front of me because of this conversation, there is not the word hijab or burqa in the Quran. In the 24th chapter, Muhammad talked about living modestly and everything like that. So your religious leader said, okay, you've got to, you know, make sure you're dressed modestly. Some fanatics all along the time have come up with this idea of the head coverings and the face coverings and even everything except for your eye coverings and everything like that. It has become a brand of your religiosity. In America today, I fear that the mask, many people are beginning to liken it to a religious responsibility. I've kind of started calling it your Christian hijab, your Christian burqa, because so many are becoming, they're using shaming to cause people to put this on. I can see in a couple of generations where this would be a religious thing and religious leaders are supporting it, and this is on the wrong path. This violates everything Americanist. I think we got to take a break, and I better quiet down for that.
Do I have the right to wear a God-given mask, which means my face? That's the mask God gave me, right? Or am I forced to wear a government man-made mask, huh?
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen, by a friend of Medjugorje. Whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen, by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
It's one thing for the legislative body in the state of Utah to be derelict in their duty. That's what they've been for quite some time over this coronavirus. But now they've stood up and said, no, we're not going to have an emergency. The governor said, don't care what you think, going to do it anyway. That's what common criminals do, ladies and gentlemen. The governor needs to be impeached over this, folks. He needs to basically be removed from office, to say the least. I think he should be brought up on criminal charges, though. Who on earth does he think he is? Okay, you know, so it's been wrong for a long time, but it's ratcheted to an extreme level that's in your face, folks. Final word, Scott, and then we got four stories from Kirk coming up.
Holy cow. Okay, well, let's just say this about that. The legislature, even this year, has stupidly given immunity to everybody that has anything to do in the government with COVID. Now, that is totally un-American. This immunity stuff is not anything that's been – it goes along with the king can do no wrong. The Americans in the Declaration of Independence clearly stated the king can do wrong. They note 27 offenses. And the United States Constitution was written to say we can remove people from office when they do wrong. And they went so far as to say not only can we remove them from office and bar them from further any kind of office, but we can also then take them before criminal courts and they have to pay the penalties, whatever it is. Whether it's fees or in jail time or whatever. In America, nobody is above the law. And the legislature, even this year, has stupidly given the governor and everybody else a pass on any unjust things that they do.
And that's why we can have
COVID.
No accountability. What they've done is they've governed by fear and force. And the consent of the governed is only given by fear and force. That's for sure. So death toll mounts as FDA denies HCQ for outpatient therapy. Kurt?
Well, yeah. Isn't it amazing, Sam, to learn about how the FDA can basically say that certain places can use certain drugs, certain doctors can, you know, get it, or certain pharmacy boards in particular states? It was just amazing to me to learn how that worked, even though this particular thing, hydroxychloroquine, been around like 60 years now. I'm not really a drug guy. And yet, you know, at least if you're going to stand in the whole drug world, you got to be asking yourself, why is this?
Yeah, why was it fine for the last 60 years and now it's not fine? But the death toll mounts is the point. That works really well because then they say, oh, by golly, the death toll is really high. We got to have a vaccine. And then they say we can't bring any other thing forward that could solve this because then we can skip all the vaccine trials required if there's other options. Since there's no other options, then, of course, we don't have to do all the tests and trials. And I mean, it just goes on and on and on. So much so that Elizabeth Lee Wyatt, MD, is speaking out. Kurt?
Well, and she's not alone, Sam. I mean, there's a boatload. If you'll look, there's a boatload of folks saying what's going on, and she's just one of them, you know. And I just look at it and think, you know, this is wrong. Something ought to be done about it.
And she's basically attacking Fauci for the dishonesty and for the betraying physicians and patients, right?
Well, that's what I see, and there's sure a lot of it to be spread around, isn't there?
Dr. Bradley, Fauci needs to belong in the clink, too.
Well, I absolutely believe, and I think it's a follow-the-money thing. By the way, that's why Utah has an emergency. And the 6th of March, they declared an emergency so they could get hundreds of millions of dollars from the federal government when they declared an emergency. That was said by the governor last week, and why he's declaring it again for hundreds of millions of dollars. Follow the money, and this thing with whether or not hydrochloroquine can work is basically, you got to stop that, because if it has any effect on it, you cannot force this quick fast-track thing on the vaccines. They're looking for bazillions of dollars, and it probably will be trillions of dollars off of vaccines. But if you have another straightforward, simple solution, I think there are other ones, by the way, that don't require, as Kirk points out, some of this pharma stuff. But they've got a 65-year-old drug that's been used safely. It'll be used, yep, it's off-label if you're using it for COVID, but there's been a lot of success with it, they say. But here's the problem. If that stuff works, then the vaccines suddenly become a back burner kind of thing, and there's way too much money.
That's
money
the bottom line. Made. In fact, Louis Gohmert, well-known congressman from Texas that we know quite well, we've been in his office and spent time with him a little bit. He's an older gentleman, but he is doing fine, Kurt. He's got the COVID, and now he's COVID-19-free, right?
That's right. You know, and World Net Daily's got the piece. You're not going to hear much about him because, once again, it goes against the, I guess you could say the flow or whatever, this whole idea of big pharma and everything. But, yeah, he, you know, he went in. Let's see. They say he's recovered from the coronavirus and plans to donate plasma in the coming days. That's what he told the Washington Examiner. He says, I'm feeling really well, really great, actually. He tested positive for the coronavirus on July 29th after taking a test at the White House ahead of a planned trip with President Trump. He drove to Texas to self-quarantine and suffered several days of mild symptoms, including fatigue, but he's now free of the virus, he said. He tested negative for the virus and positive for the coronavirus antibodies this week. Gohmert said that he will donate plasma as often as I'm allowed to help others recover from the virus. He turned 67 next week. He told the Examiner he believes his recovery was aided by the use of vitamin supplements and hydroxychloroquine, the drug touted by Trump and some medical doctors that's not endorsed by the FDA for use in treating the coronavirus. He said, I had a couple of bad days, but I started taking hydroxychloroquine, Zithromax, and zinc, along with vitamins D3 and C, and I took a steroid nebulizer for a few days to help coat the alveoli in the lungs and protect them somewhat from the COVID virus attack. That's what Dr. Richard Bartlett talks about. He said, he added, I feel sorry for patients whose doctors are not even allowed to consider the hydroxychloroquine regime. That's a real shame. Said he's been cleared by the Capitol's attending physician to return to work. Will vote in person when Congress convenes. He said he plans to wear a mask, but said questions remain about whether face coverings are truly effective at preventing the spread of the coronavirus. He says, anywhere that's the rule, I'll wear a mask. Anyway, that's probably most of it.
It goes on.
Did you guys?
And it's really important what he's been through and what he has to say about this, because they want you to believe that anybody that gets it is just dead on arrival. DOA, baby. This guy not only got it, drove himself home, suffered mild symptoms, used all the solutions that Trump and Dr. Scott Atlas and others are promoting. And you know what? That narrative is hardly even getting out, Dr. Bradley.
Well, indeed. And I don't know if you gentlemen saw the Ron Paul deal about T-cells and about how just being exposed to this generates a T-cell response in the body, which is basically a resistant capability in the body. And it's interesting to me that if we're out and about and we're breathing and shaking hands and interacting with each other, it's we're building our natural immunity.
If you get natural herd immunity, they can't make the gazillions on the vaccines, and they can't lock everybody down, and their control goes away.
That's exactly right. And that's the problem, is that we are destroying our natural immunity capability that God gave the people. And it's something that they're forestalling the approach that will work based upon God's approach to things. And they're going to force feed us a government solution that's going to make probably trillions of dollars for certain people. Because here's the deal. Just the cost of the vaccine won't be trillions. But the subsequent challenges that have always followed with vaccines will be treatable by pharma also, and they'll make extra money for those follow-on challenges. And so this is a hand over fist, money over money kind of thing that's going to happen for generations if we don't all get wiped out by the way they're treating it. And so Americans need to start to realize, follow the money. Just like Utah Amen. Needs to say, follow the money. Hundreds of millions of dollars of federal funds are coming in, even since the latest emergency announcement, and it's only because of that.
The latest emergency announcement against the legislative body, directly and openly in your face, I might add.
Here's the deal, too. As they mandate, and that, by the way, there's $12 or $14 million that they're getting for their COVID testing thing. As they get more and more people tested and more people test positive, oftentimes falsely, I think let's say you took the entire population of Utah, what is it, about 3 1/3 million people, and everybody tested COVID, and suddenly your minuscule deaths, I mean, we're, what, about 380 or something like that? You do that number, that ratio. Okay, 330 deaths by COVID. And if we had tested 3.3 million people, and you're saying, wow, do that percentage of how many are dead. It's almost zero, as close to zero as you can get. And people are going to have to say, wait, this is not nearly as deadly as everybody has been telling us. And everybody, not everybody, it's deadly, it's challenging to some people. Take your precautions, whatever's needful. But in many instances, probably 80% of the instances, people don't even know they've got it when they've got it. There's some that are more mild, like a regular cold or something like that. Some are a little bit more severe. But as is pointed out, the recovery rate, if you don't use the government-mandated solution, which is almost a death sentence from based on the statistics we're looking at, when a ventilator gets involved, which they get more money for, by the way, if they put you on a ventilator, if a ventilator's involved, it's almost 100% death, according to the statistics. So government says, put them on a ventilator, they died, dang it, look how deadly that is. And the whole thing, government-driven solutions where government does not have a right to participate as constitutionally defined are always disasters. There is nothing they do right. Government does everything wrong unless it was mandated with a delegated authority constitutionally. They just shouldn't even be involved in it.
Well, there's no doubt about it. Final story, at least there's some good news. Kurt, roughly 200-plus Pennsylvania restaurants stage revolt against Democratic government shutdown. Jonathan Jones with the article. Kurt?
Well, that's right, Sam. And, you know, we're seeing this little freedom breaking out, you know, every so often. You know, people are getting together. They did that a little locally here. In this case, 200 restaurants. I think in many cases they're looking at it going, hey, man, we're going to be shut down by bankruptcy and whatever else, or the governor, so we might as well try a little bit of freedom, I'm saying.
Amen, and it's not enough, but it is good news. Dr. Bradley, we better pray hard and work hard, my brother, because I'm telling you right now, there's deception everywhere, and secret combinations are above the people. It's time to expose them, and we don't seek for power. We seek to pull it down, sir.
Unquestionably, and the solution is a return to the baseline principles. Let's return to God. Let's return to the government he established at such great cost for us. And if we'll do that, by golly, we will remain a free and happy people.
Promoting God, family, and country, it's Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com, Kurt Crosby, and Sam Bushman. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic.